Yesterday afternoon, I spent a very happy few hours with some of the people from the Sunday school who have just gone out there, and some of their parents and grandparents and other people that came with them. And we had a great time at the Sunday school picnic, even though it was in the hall because of the weather. We played games and we ate together, we chatted, we had fun. And people of all ages together in that hall. And I have to say that the team I was in won. What, the potted sports, we won it. I'm quite pleased about that. But the bit that stays in my mind from that afternoon was right at the beginning when the children sang a fishy music song to us. They sang the song, "Welcome everybody, it's good to see you here." And I think that set the tone for the afternoon, and everybody felt that they were welcome. So it's a good sentiment, it's a great song. It's "Welcome everybody, it's good to see you here," and it's good to see you here today. And everybody is welcome, and I hope that you have felt welcome amongst us. That's what we say at the beginning as we welcome people from the front, but I hope you've been welcomed as you came in through the door. And what we've just done there in the baptism of baby Ayla was part of baptism, is to welcome her into our church family, into God's family. So I want this morning to look at Jesus' welcome, and in the light of his welcome, to look at the way in which we might welcome others. For we read, well, if we had read the chapters before the passage which we had this morning from the Gospel of Mark, we would have found Jesus going out into the world and welcoming people into his kingdom. Jesus had been about healing lots and lots of people, we are told, and driving out demons as well. In these days, before modern medicine, some illnesses were thought to have been caused by the person having a demon. But in these acts of healing, whether they involved a demon or not, Jesus was restoring people to full health. In that, he was demonstrating the coming of the kingdom, which he had proclaimed that he was bringing way back in chapter 1 of the Gospel of Mark. Jesus comes to right the wrongs in this world, and in his wake to restore the world to the way that it should be, the way which God created it in the beginning, the way it was in the Garden of Eden, which we heard about this morning in our Old Testament reading, the way it was before Adam and Eve got it so badly wrong, back to the times when God walked in the garden in the evening breeze, before there were such things as fear and shame and blame. Jesus walks in the world just as God is pictured in the story from Genesis as walking in the garden. Jesus goes about making things right again. Jesus heals so many people. No wonder they were amazed. Jesus hadn't just been healing people, though. He had also been welcoming people and calling them. He had called his disciples to himself. He had ate alongside them, and he had walked with them and lived with them. But it comes to light that this was a problem for some people. Because here in this passage which we read from this morning, Jesus is under attack from the scribes, the religious people from Jerusalem. But there are also dissenting voices around, people asking whether he is out of his mind. Crazy. The problem for the religious leaders and for others as well is that Jesus was healing people, yes, but he was healing people on the Sabbath, which was against the rules. And he healed people, yes, but he healed somebody who was a leper. And he touched that person. And to touch a leper would mean that you were unclean as well. And that was not the action of a sane person. One of the disciples he had called was a tax collector. And he hadn't just called him, he'd gone to his house and eaten with him and other tax collectors and sinners. These people were the lowest in the low of society, and they were not to be associated with in the time of Jesus. We can identify a fear here, a fear of the other. We can identify a division long experienced and written about even way back in the story from the Garden of Eden. There is a separation which begins there of people from one another, and as a result, a separation from God. And then we read in the Bible, as time went on, there were rules which were made partly to keep society in order, but these rules also began to keep people separate from one another. It kept the clean from the unclean. Rules which kept the majority safe. But we can ask, what about the minority? It is the minority that Jesus comes to reach, comes to restore. And this is why he is so very popular with the crowds. He can't go anywhere without them. He can't even find time to eat or to sleep or to just time to be. Because people want to be with him. They want to be near him. They love him. Jesus is the celebrity of his day. A celebrity, but without the protection of a barrier which would separate them from him, or of a bodyguard who might protect him. There's just bodies pushing in on him and against him. He does not turn them away, though. He welcomes them all. Perhaps I wondered if this is why his family want to remove him. Do they want to protect him? He's not protecting himself. Is it up to them then to step in, take him away for a wee while, till everything settles down? This popularity of Jesus has been noted by the religious people, and the scribes therefore have come and they plot against him. They plot against him with the original smear campaign against Jesus, the celebrity. They say he has Beelzebul. Whatever he is doing, healing people, comes then from the king of the demons, is what they say. And that is the mistake that they make. The sin that Jesus accuses them of is that they do not recognize the good that Jesus is doing. They do not see that Jesus is from God. They mistake the Holy Spirit for Satan, good for evil. And they could not be more wrong. The people can see that what Jesus is doing is good. He is bringing his kingdom in. And this kingdom is one in which everyone is forgiven, and in which all who want to follow are welcome. The outcast and the misfit are welcome. And I wonder, do we welcome them? The poor and the sick are welcome. The sinner is welcome because there will always be forgiveness. And do we welcome these people, I wonder? All are welcome, not just for a moment of grace, but as part of his family, so that they might find their home in him. The people squashing into his home are made to feel at home. Jesus asks at the end of our passage, "Who is my family?" The people in that room are his family. We here today are his family. What an amazing place to be. You belong, and I belong. What wonderful news we have to share with everyone. That there is a place for each of us in the kingdom of God. Well, last night I went to a friend's house. I went along for a few hours, and she welcomed me into her home. She showed me hospitality, and I was well behaved. And we chatted for a while, and when it was time to leave, I got up and we said goodbye. For this was not my home, it is her home. I tell this because I wonder if this is how we welcome people into our home, the church. Are others welcome for a while, but then we send them off again, keeping our church the way that we like it? Do we allow others to make their home here? If we are following Jesus' example, then we will welcome everyone. We will welcome the foreigners and the misfits, the morally corrupt, the ones who don't know how to behave. We can truly try to do this. But might we consider ourselves to be these people too? Are we the foreigner? Are we the misfit? Are we the morally corrupt? Are we only here because we know how to behave? We can go deeper if we understand that it is Christ who welcomes us, that this is his family, and that we belong alongside everyone else. For the church does not belong to us, but belongs to God. And we are welcome, and you are welcome, and I am welcome, and everyone is welcome. In this, then, Christ's kingdom comes. Wrongs are righted once again, and justice is done. And God walks with us in the evening breeze. Amen.